to Psalm 143. Read three verses out of that psalm, verses 6 through 8. Psalm 143, verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust, because me cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Let's pray. Father, we do want to lift up our hearts, our souls to you this morning, this afternoon, Lord. We pray that you would just take this time and use it for your purposes in each of our lives. Lord, these lips of mine are frail. This heart, this mind is frail. Lord, you need to do the work now. Depend upon you. I ask you to fill me with your spirit, and you would also help each of the listeners today to be spirit-led, and they would have open hearts to your Holy Spirit today. Speak to us now, we pray. Bless this time, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Say, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. By the way, we should stop right there and just say amen. Right? Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. I don't know if any of you have lived in an apartment building before. Something interesting about an apartment building. Your bedroom is only inches away from your neighbor's bedroom, separated only by what we call a party wall. Sometimes that party wall is sound protected. We hope it is, anyway. But most people probably don't think about that their neighbor is sleeping inches away from them, feet at the most, separated only by a wall. Lately, we have been in the news, we've been reading about and seeing pictures about the militant, or about the caravan there in Tijuana. Saw pictures of how some of them were trying to climb over the wall, tall wall there in Tijuana. It looked to be like, I don't know, 12, 16 feet tall or something like that. Some of them were actually climbing over the wall. a wall to separate these people from what they thought was a better life on the other side of the wall. There was also a wall that was built in Berlin some years ago. Most of you probably are too young to remember much about that. I remember it well. After World War II, Germany was divided into the East and the West. But Berlin, the capital city of Germany, was located actually in East Germany and controlled by the Soviet Union, by the communists. But the Allies managed to negotiate for half of Berlin to stay free, for the West, and the other half to the East. So there was a division in the middle of the city of Berlin For a while, it wasn't too much of a problem. There were some who could foresee the future in East Berlin and all over East Germany, actually, that the communist rule was going to be an oppressive rule, and they would not have freedom. And so many of the educated people from East Germany, doctors, engineers, scientists, began to migrate across into West Berlin as fast as they could go because they feared there was oppression coming from the communists. Thousands of refugees came into West Berlin during that time. The Soviets panicked. They were losing all of their, shall we say, upper-class people. There was going to be nothing left but the poor, and they couldn't have that. And so, as an excuse for a wall that they wanted to build to separate the city, they were saying that, well, we don't want any of these fascist Germans from West Berlin to come over into East Berlin and be political, cause political problems for the Communist Party. Of course, that was just propaganda. What they really wanted to do was stop this influx of their important or educated people from East Germany. That they were losing all these people. So they put up a temporary wall. Actually, it was more like a fence to stop this from happening. And people were still getting across. The fence wasn't strong enough. So in 1961, they built a wall. It's called the Berlin Wall. Famous wall. Here's a historical account of what that wall was like. A 12-foot wall, a tall, 4-foot wide mass of reinforced concrete was topped with an enormous pipe that made climbing over nearly impossible. Behind the wall, on the East German side, was a so-called death strip, a gauntlet of soft sand to show footprints. Floodlights, vicious dogs, tripwire machine guns, and patrolling soldiers with orders to shoot escapees on sight. In all, at least 171 people were killed trying to get over, under, or around the Berlin Wall. Escape from the East German, from East Germany was not impossible, however. From 1961 until the wall came down in 1989, more than 5,000 East Germans, including some 600 border guards, managed to cross the border by jumping out of windows adjacent to the wall, climbing over the barbed wire, flying in hot air balloons, crawling through the sewers, and driving through unfortified parts of the wall at high speeds. The wall was designed to separate, to stop those on the communist side from getting to freedom. And I believe that there are spiritual walls in our lives that keep us from getting to the real freedom that we can have in Christ, much like the Berlin Wall. Now, the East Germans and the West Germans were not very far apart, only feet apart. But that wall is what separated them, even though they were close, separated them from freedom. The wall that we build ourselves, the spiritual wall that we build ourselves, keeps us from having the abundant life that God intends us for us to have. This wall seems to be impregnable to us. We would like to get on the other side of the wall. We would like to have the freedom in Christ. We would like to have the joy and blessing of seeing His face and of experiencing His presence in our lives. But somehow we have this wall between us and God that we have made that won't let us across. Charles Tindley, a pastor, a black pastor in the early part of the 19th or the early part of the 20th century. He was also an author of many songs, many hymns that some we sing. But he was preparing a message in his study. Window was open and some papers blew over his notes. And he thought to himself, now, let nothing between. And that was the words that resulted in the song, the hymn, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem. Must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station, self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. That's a good admonition for us, isn't it? Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. This last summer, we all, or I think most of us anyway, got to experience the eclipse of the sun, the solar eclipse. We went over to Nathan's house and watched it from over there. It was a good place to see it. It was very interesting. It was a total eclipse of the sun. The moon was passing in front of the sun, and all you could see was what they call a corona, I think, around the edge. The sun kind of glistening out around the edge of this black ball up there. It didn't get completely dark, but it got kind of dusk, you know. And it was very eerie feeling. But anyway, as that moon moved across the face of the sun, covered up the sun, that's much like what happens to us. We have what we could call spiritual eclipses in our lives. The sun, S-O-N, is there, brightly shining out on us, but there's something in the way. There's something between us and the sun. Let nothing between my soul and the Savior. I don't often do this. Derek did something unusual today, so I guess I can too. I have chosen for the outline for the message today this song that I quoted to you a few minutes ago. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. If you want to look in your hymnals, page 245, I'm sure we'll sing that as our invitation song today. But he actually goes through some things here that are walls that can come between us and the Lord. or eclipses of the Lord. First of all, we see there, the first verse, nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dreams. So what are delusive dreams? Well, I hate to say this, but Santa Claus is a delusive dream. It very, very much is. In Jeremiah 23:32, it says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Also in Jeremiah 29, verse 8, it says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. Now, what are these delusive dreams that we have sometimes? Well, they can be the world's promises, false promises by the world. Empty, false promises. The world's full of them. We find these in the magazines, at the magazine rack at Walmart, don't we? We find these elusive dreams on the TV station, especially on the commercials, which I don't even watch that anymore, but anyway. They're there. It's all about what will make you rich and what will make you happy and what will make you popular and well-liked. That's what it's all about. Those are all delusive dreams that the world has. And we should not ever partake in those dreams. Those can be walls to us. Those can be an eclipse to us to keep us from having the abundant life that God wants us to have. I guess Facebook has some kind of a thing they call like. Is that right? Anybody know? I'm not trying to trick you now. No, I don't know. I don't do Facebook, but I've just heard this, okay? And so, you know, I don't know how it works exactly. Anybody want to tell me how it works? No, you don't. You're afraid, aren't you? It's all right. You can come to the altar after a while. So. Amen. Amen? Yeah, amen. But, you know, we want people to like us. We want to be popular. That's all delusive dreams, folks. All delusive. Nothing real about it. And those are walls that separate between us and our God. What's another wall? The wall of sin. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Sin will always cause a wall or an eclipse in our life. Adam and Eve were eclipsed because of their sin. And they were separated from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin is a wall between us and God. You want to have a close walk with God? You want to have the joy and blessing of God? You want to have the abundant life? I hope you all do. It's on the other side of the wall. Just inches away. Not far. But it's a wall. And it's the wall of sin. And it's a wall of our own making. says, I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Yes, sin can be pleasureful for a while. Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Well, that's a story of the unsaved, isn't it? But sometimes we get to act in that way too. Diverse lusts and pleasures. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing, Moses said that he would choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, sin can be pleasurable for a season. But remember, it's just for a season. It always will leave you cold, empty, and dead. And it's a wall. It's an eclipse between you and God. You cannot be close to God and harbor sin in your life. You can't do it. You need to repent. Get that right with God. Get that wall tore down. So he says, we have renounced, he's renounced all sinful pleasure. And is that what's between us and God? And then there's worldly pleasures. Nothing between like worldly pleasures. In the last days, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:4, there will be like this, traitors. There will be traitors, the heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, these pleasures are not always sinful pleasures, but they're pleasures nonetheless, pleasures of the world, worldly pleasures. They might be sports. They might be the internet. It might be your cell phone that you can't leave in your pocket. Hello? Anybody have a problem with that? It might be your iPad. I don't even know what an iPad is, but it might be one. It might be movies. It might be social networking. Spend your time social. By the way, parents, don't let your kids get involved in that. I'll tell you what, that can corrupt kids so fast. Don't let it happen. It might be hobbies, something you enjoy doing, fun doing, but it's become an eclipse that keeps you from the presence of God, the face of God. Then it goes on to say, habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. Habits. Webster defines habits this way. A settled tendency or usual manner of behavior. Her habit, example, her habit of taking a morning walk. A second definition is an acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary. I got up early, in other words, from force of habit. I think that's probably a more accurate definition. Habits are something they're completely involuntary. We have done it so many times that we don't even have to think about it. It just happens. But you know, habits can be a wall between us and God. I'll give you a little example. I have a habit. When I get up in the morning, first thing I do is go build a fire, which that's a pretty good habit, I think. My wife thinks it is anyway. She's cold. I make a cup of tea, and then I go sit in my chair with my cell phone, check my email. And I check the weather and I check the news. And then I read my Bible. As I was preparing this message last night, I got thinking, you know what, Larry? I think maybe you got a wall there. A habit wall there. It needs to come down. I had to confess that. But from now on, it's the Bible first, okay? You have a habit that has become a wall or an eclipse in your life of the blessings from the blessings of God. Or maybe it's pride or position. Nothing between like pride or station. Maybe it's Phariseeism. You just you think you're somebody. You think you have a position. I am the pastor. Huh? You know what the Apostle Paul said about himself and the other apostles? I would include, I'm not an apostle, but as Christian leaders, the off-scouring of the world. Huh? That's a better way to look at ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Pride, position, will eclipse us from the sun. Or maybe it's self or friends. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Well, self certainly can be a wall to keep us from God. Again, Paul says in the end times, 2 Timothy 3:2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Yourself can be a wall or an eclipse from the blessings of God. Family or friends can be an eclipse of the blessings of God. There's a, you know, family and friends have a very strong pull in our life, a very strong influence in our lives. Sometimes that influence is good. Sometimes it's not so good. But they have a great influence. Matthew 24:4, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5:6-7, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." John says in 1 John 3:7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And we can be easily deceived by family and friends. And we need to be careful that we follow the word of God and not what somebody else thinks we should do. So are you resolved? Let me ask you that question. Are you resolved to not follow wrong friends or family, though it may cost you much tribulation, much heartache to do so? And then, nothing between even many hard trials. See, trials can even be a wall to keep us from God. I think a good example of that is the life of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, but he was also given to some melancholy depression sometimes. One time it was extremely severe, because he had preached to a great crowd I think it was in the music hall. And I think there were 5,000 people present. But somebody called fire. Just some pranksters called fire. And there was a stampede. 7 people were killed in that stampede. Spurgeon was so upset by that, he finally just fainted. And they had to carry him out. He tried to keep things in order before that happened, but to no avail. After this great tragedy, he became so depressed. This great trial was so hard, he was having a hard time handling it. For weeks, he couldn't pray. He couldn't read his Bible. Didn't want to read his Bible. A hard trial had eclipsed the sun. He couldn't see Christ anymore. He couldn't see clear. He couldn't see God's will. He couldn't see the abundant life anymore. It was gone. It was dark. There was a wall between him and God. It was impregnable. Finally, after some time, God finally delivered him from it. And the eclipse moved on, and the sun shone in again. Praise the Lord. Sometimes hard trials can do that to us. Sometimes hard trials can be a wall. Can throw us off track and just cause us to be totally defeated. But I want to tell you something. It's only temporary. The eclipse passes. The wall goes away. And you'll be able to see the sun again. That's the good news. The chorus goes like this: nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. So what is the wall in your life? What is the eclipse in your life? Is it maybe prayerlessness? Maybe you don't read your Bible very often? Maybe you have a negative attitude about church. You know, by the way, no church is perfect. I don't know if you didn't know that. This church is not perfect. You know why it's not perfect? Because it's made up of imperfect people and of an imperfect pastor, you see. You know, we try to follow the Word of God as close as we can, but we're not perfect. But maybe that's the problem. You have a negative attitude about church, and that's become a wall to you. Or maybe you have resentment towards somebody. That's become an eclipse in your life. Maybe you have a problem with lust. That's certainly a wall in your life. Maybe it's self. Maybe it's social networking again. A friend you have in social networking that can, by the way, very easily lead you astray. You be careful. I wish I could really caution you about that. There's so many young people that have fallen because of that very thing. You be careful. Maybe it's bad family relationships. It's become a wall between you and God. Maybe it's pride that's become a wall between you and God. Maybe it's worldly goals and ambitions that has eclipsed the sun in your life. You know, somebody might ask the question, why do you want your kids to be in school, to learn? Why do you spend so much time trying to teach your kids home? We all homeschool here. The answer might be, well, they need to get a good education. And then the question comes, well, why do they need a good education? Well, so that they can go to college. Well, why do they need to go to college? So they can get a good job. So why do they need a good job to get a good job? So they can make good money. So why do they need to make good money? So they can have a comfortable life. I think somebody went off track somewhere on that list. Let me back up a little bit and tell you how it should be, okay? Why do you want your kids to go in school? To learn? To get a good education? That's okay. Why do you want them to get a good education? And that's where we need to take a right-hand turn, right there. So they can serve God better. Period. That's the end of the story right there. See? What are your goals? What are your ambitions? What are your goals for your family? Are they godly goals? Or are they worldly goals? That can be a wall in your life. I'm going to close this story. I probably told you this before, but when I was in Bible college, one Sunday night church, the invitation song was just this song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." I don't remember anything about the sermon, but I remember the invitation song. God began to speak to my heart, and I was praying and asking God to show me if there's something between us that shouldn't be there, a wall that shouldn't be there. And God, sure enough, He is very faithful. When you ask Him those kind of questions, He will answer your question, by the way. And He did. And He said, "Larry, you've never been scripturally baptized." I was baptized before that, but I wasn't saved yet when I got baptized, so I wasn't scripturally baptized. So I said, "Okay, Lord." And I walked down the aisle that Sunday night, went forward, and asked for believer's baptism. And I was baptized that night. It could be that. Maybe you've been saved and you haven't been scripturally baptized yet. That can be a wall in your life. Keep you from having the full blessings of God in your life. I don't know what it is. It might be something that I haven't even mentioned today, but you know what it is. And the Holy Spirit, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart about what that wall is in your life. And that you will surrender that and tear down that wall today. There's such a blessing on the other side of the wall. There's such freedom on the other side of the wall. Such joy. Blessing. Father, we thank You for this time today. We thank You, Lord, for this truth. Lord, we do want to be able to have Your face shine upon us, to see Your face. To have Your blessing in our lives. We want nothing between us, Lord. I hope that's a prayer of everyone here today. I pray, Lord, that You would bless the invitation time now. I pray that we'd do business with You, and Lord, help us to tear down these walls in our lives, we pray today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.